Well, this is quite a treat, especially after a few days of snow and very busy schedules for our DOT workers. We've got Commissioner Garrett Yucalito in studio with us. Hey, Commissioner, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Well, are your team sleep deprived at this point? I mean, tell me how you really feel.
No, the snow stopped. Everyone assumed that they went off shift. They were working for about 48 hours straight. But even last night, they came back in. And so while everyone was sleeping, they were doing snow removal. So the highways, all the snow's built up on the shoulders. This morning, if you're driving, you probably notice a lot of that snow is missing from the shoulders because they were up all night.
Thank you, DOT.
Using loaders and removing a lot of that snow. So they're not through it yet. We want to make sure to get rid of as much snow as possible. So in the event there is another snowstorm in the near future, that we have someplace to put the snow.
Yeah, good call. I mean, if I remember the numbers correctly, and this is where you would know it by heart, it was, 650 plows and about 900 rotating workers, right?
Yeah, yep.
We
had about 650 trucks in service on the road, over 900 drivers, plus around a little over 200 contractors we hired to supplement our forces.
Wow. I mean, but talk about that, Commissioner, because the fact is according to my chief meteorologist, we have not seen such significant snowfall in one event since 2013. It's been a hot minute. So how did you guys prepare for this? And honestly, it's sort of continuing because we may get more snow later this week. Even yesterday, while it was kind of a quick event, I mean, it stuck very quickly. It was during the commuting hours. It was not ideal. So how did you guys prep for, I guess, winter?
Yeah. So, I mean, this is what they train for. This is what we buy equipment for. This is what, you know, state DOTs across the Northeast and especially New England are really, experts at. And we do have a lot of new employees who have never gone through a storm like this. But thankfully, we have the leadership of our highway operations team. They've all been here for some of the major storms we've had. And so they were able to, plan throughout the course of the week, meeting with the leadership of each of the garages across the state, talking to them about, here's what you need to think about as you're going through the storm, focus on these problem areas. Here's how you address rotating your crews to make sure they get the break. We've been saying for a few years now, with so many new employees, it'll be good to get a multi-day storm so they have one under their belt.
It's a good point. You can have kind of a let's prep for this, but unless you actually are in it, how do you really get that real life experience? That's
right.
So true.
Yeah, it's a completely different experience what we just went through versus a 2 to 4 inch storm in one day. You're plowing it differently. The snow moves differently.
Right.
You can see the road differently compared to what it would normally be. So it was definitely a different experience. It's a great learning experience for people. They did a great job. I think people were pleasantly surprised when they woke up Monday morning and saw how clear the highways were.
It was incredible, especially for a storm that just never let up. I mean, this thing, you guys had people out at 4 a.m. on Sunday.
Yep.
But the storm literally did not let up until really mid-morning Monday. So you're talking about well over 24 hours of just constant snow and everything. So the fact that they not only kept up, but they made it where you could, if you had to, if you're a central worker, you could get to work no problem. It was quite impressive, honestly, to say the least. And granted, part of that is it was great that people actually listened, right? I mean, talk about even the messaging there, because it is a partnership a little bit that people really didn't go out and they weren't obviously following closely of the plows. Like, they were able to do their jobs effectively.
No, that was key, is the messaging from the governor and from other people across the state, reminding people, stay home, stay home, stay home. Sunday, most people did stay home. I was out all day and all night. And definitely had a lot of people on the roads trying to get around the plows, cutting in front of them, which is a huge safety issue. But for the most part, there was a lot less traffic than we normally see on a Sunday. The commercial vehicle ban was in effect. All the trucks were parked at various rest areas and truck stops, which was really helpful. So it did allow our trucks to be able to continue through the day, all through the night, into the morning, and throughout Monday, not be held up when people get stuck and block multiple lanes of traffic. Now, we did have a lot of cases where people did not listen, and they got stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And then so our trucks, our drivers, the state police had to come and help shovel them out and try and get them out of that situation, which is very dangerous for everyone involved. But, we didn't want them stuck there.
Right, of course. I mean, and we didn't, as far as I know, because we had Connecticut State Police on during kind of the tail end of it, there were no fatalities. There was nothing roadway-wise fatalities connected to the storm. So,
right.
But we do have a real issue of kind of slow down, move over, and certainly don't want to put people at risk of that. So we've got the commissioner here from the Department of Transportation, Garrett Ucolito is here. And this was actually a question we got while the storm was kind of ending, which is, are we in good shape, because we've had so many mild winters, are we in good shape for continuing to prep roads, so salt and everything else we need, equipment up to par? Obviously, we very nicely got through this storm, but it does sound like we have an above-active winter ahead, so I don't know what that looks like, but are we in good shape for the remainder of the winter?
Yeah, I think we are. Like, our equipment is better than it's ever been before. The past several years, we've been upgrading our equipment and having much more routine cyclical replacement of that equipment. So we're not driving around 20-year-old trucks and loaders.
Deal.
Yeah, it's a huge deal. So we went into the storm of our 650 vehicles. I think only three were in for repair.
Really?
Yeah. So it was
that's
really
good timing.
Impressive. Yes. Normally,
nice job.
Multiple would be in for repair.
Right.
And they did a great job getting them out and ready on the road. But the other piece, like the supplies, the salt, we are in an okay position for that. When you go through a storm like this, we actually didn't use that much. We applied some in the beginning of the storm, some places. But then with that rate of snowfall, you're not going to apply salt throughout the course of the storm. You just need to keep plowing until you can get down to the pavement. Then you start applying the salt. So we used a lot, but not as much as people would think, because if it was an icy storm, it's a different situation.
Totally.
So we're in an okay position. We obviously need to restock. Some part of our garages, like the Litchfield Hills, are pretty barren because they've had multiple small ice events and storms a few inches over leading up to this event. So we have to restock and refill, but I think we're okay. It is something, we plan for this type of winter every year. And if we get through the winter and we have an above average stock left over, it's a bonus. Then we just have to buy less, but we have a target we aim for of certain tons of salt to always have on hand.
We have the honor of having Commissioner Garrett Ucolito here from the Department of Transportation in studio. And I want to switch gears from snow to just looking at our roadways in general. I know that there's going to be announcements this week highlighting the significant decrease in roadway fatalities for the 2025 year. And again, without kind of giving all the information away, Garrett, because I know this is going to be addressed later on, talk to us a little bit about what you think made the difference from 2024 to 25, because my understanding is driver behavior is still not great, honestly. We have a real problem with wrong-way drivers. We have an issue with slow down, move over. It feels like we're one of the leading states with technology that we are implementing on all our on and off ramps. So I feel like in that regard, we haven't changed that much. But how did the numbers come down from 24 to 25?
Yeah, so the numbers did come down quite a bit. So, 274 deaths in 25. Where we had 312 in 2024. So that's a great decrease. The one negative is that pedestrian and bicycle fatalities were actually up.
Really?
And that's a trend nationwide where we're seeing across the country every year bike and pedestrian fatalities are going up compared to motor vehicle deaths, which are going down since COVID. It's because it did really spike in 2020, 2021. And then since then, it's been gradually coming back down. But I think there's a few different factors at play. One, there's a lot more enforcement by local and state police on our roadways. During 2020, 2021, there was basically no traffic enforcement occurring on our roadways.
Sure.
So people felt like they could do whatever they wanted. And that led to a lot of fatalities. So increased enforcement is definitely helping. I do believe trying to get out there as much as we can everywhere to talk about, try to humanize this issue, and try to put a face to those people who are being killed, whether it's those who are working on the roadside and the risks they face, or just individuals who lose their lives in a drunk driving death or a distracted driving death. There's a big effort around the National Day of Remembrance every fall, where you get families together who lost their loved ones in a traffic crash. They tell their stories, and so that's been occurring for a few years now. And then the use of technology is helping, we hope. There's no way to definitely say if someone we stop from driving the wrong way on a ramp was going to kill someone or not, but there's a huge...
You lowered that risk, though.
Exactly.
So, right? I mean, you created not a statistic, so
yeah.
That's a win.
Hundreds and hundreds of people have now been stopped from driving the wrong way up a ramp.
It's a big deal.
Because the lights are flashing at them and the camera comes on and they turn around. So we see them actually turn around from their wrong way driving.
And at this point, how many systems are in place? It's like over 200, right? Or about 200?
Over 210.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Are you putting more in this year?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. So the goal is to get over 400.
Wow.
So that's what we're on track to do.
And I think a couple things that you had mentioned there, when we talk about kind of humanizing it, I have gotten feedback, not just from workers at the DOT, but even just people who are driving on Connecticut roadways. The signs that update the lives lost is very alarming, but I think it's effective. And I know that you guys just started doing that maybe 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Is that going to continue? Because I think that is something that, it to me, the years of click it or ticket, it doesn't do anything. But to see, oh my gosh, we've already lost this many lives, that's scary. That's real. There's something about that I've literally heard from so many that it's scary, but it's effective.
Yeah. So that was actually something that I pushed the team. I wanted to see done because I felt like the messaging was too weak, not impactful. The federal government has certain messages that they require us to push out. Clicker ticket, drive sober, get pulled over.
Right.
And those have been around forever. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, couple of years ago, I told the team, let's start putting the number of deaths up there. Like, let's put it in people's faces so they can't hide from it. And let's try to get our advertising that we are doing using our state funding a little more impactful, too. So some of the wrong way driving videos that we've done are, for new drivers, they're a little scary. It's dark. It's speeding. It's, it drives this adrenaline sense of threat. And so that's really been our push, is to get a little bit more in your face with some of the messaging campaigns. And I think it is working. We've heard from people that their kids will see the numbers on those signs and then like comment to their parents, like, the numbers went up this week,
mm-hmm.
and ask why. And that's what we're trying to do, is like get people to at least pay attention to what's happening.
So I gotta be honest, that's how I knew the numbers came out in 2025. It's funny you mentioned kids. And granted, my 7-year-old's brought up in a news world, so he's very, very probably more aware than most. But he noticed that the number didn't start with a 3. And that's how I knew the number came down, because he said, did you notice, Mommy, that it's not 3-something? It's actually 2-something? Now, I didn't know. I couldn't remember last year's number. But I thought, wow, I forgot, actually, that we had hit the 300s last year. And yeah, I guess that is kind of a win that we certainly didn't get up to 300. So that's, I mean, that messaging is incredible across the board. As far as also you were saying pedestrian and bicycle deaths, do you think we're going to see that improve now that more and more communities are getting red light cameras and speed cameras? I mean, I think we're up to at least 10 or 11 municipalities at this point. I know it's a very lengthy process, but we're hearing more and more towns and cities trying to get on board, or at least sending in, applications to DOT.
I hope so. I hope that will help. I don't know if it necessarily will in all cases, because a lot of these are not occurring in locations where those cameras are being installed, though some of them are going to be installed near like school zones, which is great.
That's, yeah.
The legislation specifically said if you want to put it in a school zone, you basically can. We'll sign off on it. We don't need to see evidence of speeding history or crash history there. It's considered
there's a bunch of kids. They're walking or biking to school. It's a no-brainer. Yeah.
The big reason that most of us in the transportation industry think we're seeing this occur is, if you look at the makeup of the vehicles in our country over the past 20 years, every year vehicles are getting bigger and they're getting heavier. And so while historically, if you were hit by a car as a pedestrian, you'd roll over the hood and you'd get banged up. You might survive.
The survival rate is just not
survival
possible.
Rate now is getting much lower, because if you're hit by a car now, chances are you're going to go under the vehicle because you get hit by the vehicle, get thrown, or go under the wheels because bigger vehicles.
Do you also think it is, though, the technological advances? For example, I mean, when I was learning how to drive a car, you had to stick your head out the window, look in all the mirrors to back up. But now we've got backup cameras. So even that has become, I don't want to call it lazier driving, but we've become so complacent a little bit that, I mean, we don't even look over our shoulder anymore. We rely on the little blinking light on our mirrors to tell us that there's a car coming up. Do you think that has anything to do with it?
I think actually that technology is going to help.
Okay.
I think those, like Senator Blumenthal has been a big pusher of requiring backup cameras, requiring automatic emergency braking. Those things can actually help save lives once we get them in more vehicles. I do believe, and there's no like factual evidence because this is very difficult to prove, but so many people, even the safest people who claim they're the safest drivers, are distracted by their phones in their vehicle. You know, I drive everywhere every day, and the number of people I see on their phone or watching, mounting their phone and then watching TikTok,
a sports game,
YouTube,
or,
they're streaming things on their phone while I've seen people FaceTiming while they're driving. It's, you know, that is, I think, one of the biggest reasons we're seeing this occur is that there's just so much distraction occurring behind the wheel. Now, as technology improves and as more vehicles, like a newer vehicle is going to have that emergency braking, which if it detects a pedestrian, it's going to slam on the brakes.
Which is a huge deal.
Yeah. So hopefully that, as that becomes more prevalent, we can see the trend line begin to go down.
That makes sense. Commissioner Yucalito, I have run out of time, but I was so glad to have you in studio and talking about all of this, and I hope to have you back really soon. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.